Hello and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical industry. Today, we're talking about audits, and there's been some recent trends that have developed that providers need to know about. And here to talk about that is audit expert Wayne Van Halem. He's the president and founder of the Van Halem Group, an audit consulting firm in the industry, probably the premier audit consulting firm. Wayne, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Dave. How are you?
I am all right. Wayne, thanks for being here today. So let's dive in. When the COVID-19 public health emergency was announced, CMS quickly suspended its claims audit programs to ensure that care wouldn't be interrupted during, you know, an unprecedented time. Then back in July, I think it was late July, CMS said that it was going to resume auditing Medicare claims on August 3rd. Well, you know, here we are, it's September 10th. And it wasn't an immediate resumption. CMS later qualified its statement and said it would phase in the rollout. Wayne, what's the story here? You know, how have audits resumed since August 3rd, or when are they resuming? What's the kind of the current status?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, immediately after the notification that they were going to restart audits, which quite frankly was a big surprise. I didn't anticipate that happening. And they did it kind of very quietly. It was a very quiet announcement in response to an FAQ. But, you know, I kind of thought that this was going to be the audit reprieve was going to continue throughout the period of the public health emergency. So I was a little surprised to see it. So immediately after we, you know, I'm a part of the American Association for Home Care's Regulatory Council, and you know, obviously they had concerns regarding this. So we immediately requested a meeting with CMS to sort of to talk about it. And right from the beginning, they wanted to make it very clear that they were considering this sort of a toe in the water type of approach, where they felt that there was a need to continue auditing, just like, you know, gosh, there's never in a million years did I ever think CMS would stop doing all audits for a certain period of time. But, you know, so I was pretty surprised by that. But they have, you know, they said that the audits had to continue, but they wanted to make sure that they were doing so in a responsible manner, because they did understand that the public health emergency is still obviously very alive and well in many parts of the country, if not all parts of the country. So they didn't want to put an unnecessary burden on suppliers. Part of their strategy in doing that is that they were not going to be resuming prepayment reviews. Prepayment review, meaning you submit the claim and you get an ADR and you have to submit documentation prior to them paying the claim. They didn't want to do that because obviously they said that they had concerns over holding up money due to suppliers during this time period. So I guess that's a positive. The down part of that is that they are doing post-payment reviews, which obviously results in overpayments. Mm. So what we're seeing now is that they've identified claims for a post-payment review prior to date of service March 1st, 2020. So any claims submitted prior to that will be subject to review and will be reviewed based upon the requirements in effect at that time, which does not include any waivers. Most of those waivers went into effect after that date. So they will be reviewing. We've had clients that have received some communication from the DME Max requesting documentation on a post-payment basis for claims, some of which, you know, they're seeing multiple claims. So the DME Max are starting back with post-payment claims. We'll start seeing the RACs posting there. You know, they have approved issues that they can review, and we'll start seeing those. And then the SMRC, which works a little bit different in that they normally work on special projects from CMS and perhaps HHS OIG, I imagine we'll see them starting the last and coming up in the next several months. So the other type of audit that we've been sort of monitoring is the UPIC audits, and those are the ones that are really tough. Those are the ones that are looking for fraud and abuse. They have stopped sending documentation requests during the period of the PHE. They didn't stop auditing because we have clients that had patients who called and said they received a call from someone who indicated that they were an investigator with a UPIC and they were asking questions. So they were still doing work during the PHE. They were just doing beneficiary interviews and things along those lines. And we saw, some cases where they actually implemented a payment suspension based solely on the interviews with the patients. And what I anticipate is they're going to gather information from the patients and we'll start seeing documentation requests from the UPIC. We got a call actually earlier today from someone who did receive a documentation request from a UPIC. So it sounds like they're starting back pretty quickly as well.
Boy, so they're not wasting any time. What are the kind of date range on the claims that they're auditing? Are they like going back to the point where CMS hit the pause button on claims audits, or what kind of time frame for the claims should providers be thinking about?
So they haven't really given a starting time frame, and it depends on the contractor as to how far they can go back. So the UPICs, for example, can go back a little bit further because they're technically looking for fraud, waste, or abuse. So if they have evidence that of something that may be considered fraudulent or abusive, they can go back 5 to 7 years. They don't often do that. They usually just go back a few years to see if there's any issues, and then can always extend it. Or if they refer to law enforcement, they can always extend it. The RACs are limited to 3 years, so they can go back 3 years from the date the claim is paid. And on the DME MACs, which is probably where we're going to see a majority of the reviews, they've just sort of have indicated that it will be for claims submitted prior to March 1st, 2020. They do intend to, and the CMS has made this very clear from the very beginning. In fact, we had talked to them about this because there's industry stakeholders that were requesting CMS offer sort of a grandfather type of issue and not audit claims that were submitted during the public health emergency because of all this the difficulty in getting documentation. But CMS made it very clear in all those conversations that they have every intent to audit claims submitted during the PHE. They just don't plan on doing that yet. So right now, it's all claims submitted prior to, depending on the auditor, then go back different. I don't have a good indication yet how far the DME MACs are going back, but I would guess they're not going to go back super far because they're just, they're looking at smaller numbers of claims than what they were looking at previously. They're not doing a formal TPE. It's more just an audit of some claims here and there. So I don't anticipate that being, them going back very far on that. Well, what will be interesting is when they do start auditing claims submitted during the public health emergency with all the relaxed requirements and how that goes.
So looking at this information, what should providers be doing right now? Now that they've got, because I imagine that this, having a pause and then a resumption might kind of throw some providers for a bit of a loop. What's your advice to the providers out there?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. So there's different things. Obviously always, we are going to preach that, trying to get all the documentation that you need, even if there are instances in which there are relaxed requirements, if possible, get the documentation you need throughout the period of the public health emergency, because the audits are continuing. Right now, they're going to be auditing the post-pay, but the concern for me is when they start auditing the claims that are submitted during the pandemic and how they respond to that. From a preparation standpoint, suppliers need to know that they're going to have to respond to audits. CMS did indicate in our conversations with them that they have, you know, given instructions to the contractors that they are supposed to be as flexible as possible during this time of auditing, and that they are supposed to be paying attention to the particular areas in which they are sending audit requests to see if there is, you know, significant issues going on in that particular area. But we have some clients in Michigan that have received documentation requests, and Michigan and Detroit area is still considered a hotspot. So, I'm not really sure how they're paying attention to that, but CMS did say that the suppliers should talk and communicate with the contractors if they're having difficulty getting the documentation being requested, request extensions. And that was another reason why CMS wanted only to do post-payment audits, because they do have the ability to grant extensions and have more flexibility with post-payment audits versus a prepayment audit that automatically denies in their system if documentation isn't received within a certain time period. So they wanted to avoid that issue from happening and being able to give extensions. So if the supplier is having issues, they should communicate those extension requests to CMS. Another thing, you know, we recommend, you know, hopefully during the entire period of the pandemic, they've been really tracking their claims, where they are submitting claims with the CR modifier, where they may not have the appropriate documentation. So in the event there's some sort of requalification process, we don't know what that is. CMS has indicated that there will likely be some sort of requalification process, that suppliers are able to easily go back and reference which patients that it would apply to, so that they can get them requalified accordingly. I think the concern out there is that there were a number of patients put on oxygen for acute conditions. And once those conditions have resolved, that equipment needs to be picked up. So that's another thing to sort of think about and prepare for, is making sure that the patients who you have provided equipment to are still using the equipment. If not, then that equipment needs to be picked up. But being able to reference and flag those patients in the system easily when CMS does come back and say, hey, here's what we're going to do from a requalification standpoint, when they start auditing, we can be prepared to, you know, respond to that.
Got it. Okay. Well, now I'm going to change gears a little bit, and I'm going to ask you to kind of editorialize a little. I'm curious, Wayne, looking at this, is you're an audit expert. You spent a long time in CMS's program integrity. Is this the right thing to be doing? Is this problematic? You know, I'm thinking about this in terms of the public health emergency. To me, this seems a little too soon. And I'm not just saying that because, I want to see providers not have to deal with audits, but also because it just seems like it's adding another layer of complexity at a time when care providers are trying to deal with completely unforeseen circumstances.
Yeah, I would say from my perspective and the perspective of managing a business that helps providers navigate through issues like audits, I didn't intend to see new audits at least until the early part of 2021, if not for the entire period of the public health emergency, which, you know, if we look back at other previous public health emergencies, I think the SARS one lasted well over 450 days, I believe, so over a year, and we haven't been close to a year yet in this one, it'll likely go well beyond what we're anticipating, particularly with without any vaccine within a close time period. So I was surprised to see it. I guess the fact that it was made a little bit better about their approach to it, but, you know, editorializing, there's this background issue that I think is really, really, really kind of coming into play here. And that is, you know, when CMS stopped the audits, that also stopped all the appeals from going in the system. So you have all of these contractors out there. You have, you know, the MACs, and you have the UPICs, and you have the RACs that are, you know, the RACs are only paid on contingency. So they weren't, you know, obviously able to make money on any of their complex reviews during this time period. The MACs and the UPICs are all fixed fee contracts. So they're spending this money for all of these entities. And for to have them go for an extended period of time without being able to do any of that work is a financial burden, obviously, on the government. So getting them back to work was one thing. But also, when we look at no appeals going into the system, you know, the ALJ backlog is getting resolved. They are now working on all of the big box cases that have been sitting there for 5 or 6 years, and we're having ALJ hearings scheduled every day, every week. And you know, I think what we'll see, and it's kind of scary, but we have these ALJs, you know, the significant additional funding that they receive to get the backlog down, stopping all audits from coming into the system, certainly help with them being able to make a huge dent in the number of appeals they have pending. So while they were saying they would be finished, you know, with the backlog by early 2021, you know, I think it might be even sooner than that. But then we have in the Office of Medicare Hearings and Appeals, where the ALJs are, we have an ALJ group that is staffed, trained, and ready to handle 300,000 appeals per year. And as of right now, they're getting nowhere near that. And I just, they went through the effort of opening 7 new offices, hiring 70 new judges, going all through that training. I can't imagine the government is just not going to use that to its advantage to increase RAC activity. The RAC activity is what caused the ALJ backlog, but once they're resolved, you know, the RACs have strong lobbyists. The RAC program made the government billions of dollars and made the RACs billions of dollars. So I anticipate, you know, once the PHE has been lifted, and the appeals are resolved, that we're going to see a big increase in RAC audits again, like we did back in, you know, 2011 through 2016, which really had a pretty big impact on our industry.
It sure did. So bearing that in mind, how should providers be preparing for that?
So just like, you know, just like we normally say, you've got to be proactive in this environment. I think when, you know, the audits start going away, or even the RAC, the current RAC program, they were really restricting the number of audits that they can do. They were only approving 500 claims to 2,000 claims, depending on the issue, and never more than that, because they wanted to see what impact it had on the appeal process. And, you know, once they start loosening those restrictions, because they're more prepared and they have the ability to manage those appeals and get them done timely, which means getting the appeals done in 90 days, we're going to see the audits come back. So people have to be proactive in understanding what those requirements are, doing regular quarterly audit, internal audits and checks, you know, having a compliance program where someone is monitoring the claims to make sure that they're being submitted accurately. You know, I think a lot of times we just rely on the folks in our employment that they're doing the right thing, and it may not be intentional, but a lot of these rules change, and you know, we have to stay on top of those and understand it. So just having a really strong compliance program, but actually implementing all of those elements, which includes education and training, quarterly auditing, things like that, is, you know, your documentation is your only defense in an audit. So making sure you have appropriate protocols to monitor that on an ongoing basis, because the reality is, particularly with RACs, the claims you are submitting now are the ones that they'll be reviewing, because they're all post-payment reviews. So you just got to, you know, ongoing auditing and monitoring is really, really important.
Got it. Okay. Well, Wayne, thanks very much for all this information. It's terrific. I really appreciate you taking the time.
It's always a pleasure.
Thanks again to Wayne for taking the time to stop by and chat with the podcast about this. If you want to find out more about the Van Halen Group, you can call 404-343-1815, or you can go check them out online at Van Halen with an M group.com. That's Van Halen group.com. That'll wrap things up for this episode. Don't forget to rate and review the HME Business Podcast. And please, if you haven't already, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, make sure to check out hme-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service. And if you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe to the print magazine there as well. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on both Facebook and Twitter. We're also now on LinkedIn. If you want to follow me personally, I'm at Post-Acute News on Twitter. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me via Twitter. Again, that's at Post-Acute News, or via email. I'm at DKO, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105media.com. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering compelling HME business topics like this one. But for now, goodbye until the next HME Business Podcast.